Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you believe in miracles? We got Fizzle in the house. Fizzle, what's good, man? Fizzle, glad to have you here.
Let's go. This the South Humming Podcast. Glad you here today. Hit that Patreon link if you here to stay. Dynasty best ball, that's my favorite way. 40 chess trade show, let's make a trade today or check the AMA. You know Adam at the ATM. Mike always in the building, he gon' stay with him. They gon' start every show off with their own trade. Fantasy's a big ocean, they made their own wave. Make sure you tapping in Tuesdays and Saturdays. Tuesday night, Saturday morning, ain't no better way. Hit that notification bell when the news break. Go subscribe right now, don't get the news late. Destination Devi, that's the team. Dynasty football, man, that's my favorite thing. I remember Biggie said it was all a dream. Now people watching on their phones and computer screens. Welcome to the team.
Let's start the show.
Welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being here. Man, Adam, it has been a hell of a week. We wrapped up our series with Scott doing the best ball roster construction. It was incredible. If you guys remember before the last 2 weeks doing it, we were talking auction strategy. And that's what we're going to get back into tonight, kind of continue the auction strategy. But first off, buddy, been a few days, man. You had a busy weekend. You had a wedding to go to. You got to rub elbows with an NFL player. How you doing, man? You hanging in there?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Riding on fumes, but we are, you know, there's still enough gas in the tank to get through it. Wedding was awesome. Got to see my guy, Steve Hamer, I played basketball with in college. So a lot of, like, it was a blast from the past. Some of the guys I haven't seen in, honestly, 10 years. I've seen Steve sooner than that, but it was great. Did get to meet and talk with Eric Armstead from the 49ers. Actually, my friend Steve, who was getting married, he's now brothers-in-law with Eric Armstead. So it was a blast, man. The whole weekend was really good.
Man, that's incredible, man. Is Eric as big as a guy as he looks on TV?
Listen, let me just say this. If you see me, like, I'm a pretty tall, big guy, right? And when I'm talking with him, standing next to him, like, I'm noticing my head, you know, picking up, you know, feeling really small for a guy that's 6'4", you know, so he is big. They had four in the corners of the venue. They had four different stations of food, and Eric doesn't drink, right? So he's literally, I watched him. He was eating food like you can't believe. He was at all these places just constantly eating. He is a big, big, large human, man.
Man, you got to.
And he's really cool, man. He's chill.
He's a hell of an athlete, man. I can only imagine the amount of fuel he needs to consume on a daily basis just to keep going. That's incredible.
Yep.
He's a big, big, big dude.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Adam. We did wrap up one auction draft. So we started talking about it a couple weeks ago. That one is kaput. It's done. It's over with. So we do have that to go off of. But we also have a new one going on right now. We're probably, I'd say, about 3/4 of the way through it. We're just wrapping up here on the last parts, filling out the rosters. But we left last episode talking about auction strategy, most of it was just around the quarterbacks. But what did you learn, man? If you think back to a couple weeks ago, some of our predictions on quarterback prices, did it go the way you want? And then also just kind of touch on the differences. I mean, we say it all the time, and you'll hear anybody who does a lot of auction drafts say it, that every auction's different. And this one is no different than any other auction. Like, it's the quarterback values were wild. They were all over the place. Some higher, some lower. Some of these player values that we're getting right now are kind of incredible, and then other ones we're regretting early. But just a quick recap. Just talk about the two different auctions and kind of some of your quick thoughts on those, and then we'll dive into some strategy here.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. We were recording that. Feels like a while ago now, because we had a great best ball roster construction series with Scott, which was an absolute blast to do. And even just trying to figure out how to create the content and talk through it, honestly, I learned a lot in the process too of that. I will say, talking about these two different auctions are, to me, they're so fun because you have so many different ways to get players and build teams, but ultimately it's more like the strategy side and after the actual snake draft in fantasy in an auction, where it's you and your league mates, right? Like, you have to be constantly checking, okay, where are the values at? And should I be holding my money? Should I be spending it? Is this a value for this player? If he goes through right now and he's one of the top, you know, first five picks, players off the board, like, are we going to look back like, shoot, we shouldn't let this have gone through for this cheap? But then if you bid it up, do you want to actually get the player at that price if no one bids him past that? So there's a lot of strategy and thoughts that go into it, and it's fluid. You have to be thinking about this based on what your league mates also have in money. And if you're going to end up with a hammer, maybe you hold more money. I'll say this. The two different ones were interesting. Patrick Mahomes was a guy that I landed, and this was amidst talking about, you know, the quarterback values being crazy. I locked him up and then tried to basically throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and just see what might stick. And right now I maybe have one starter named Baker Mayfield, possibly, for Tampa. A lot of these other, like, throw stuff at the wall, maybe they'll fill in, but I'm gonna probably end up maybe dumping even some of them. So now I'm in the spot of, do I wait, you know, do I see if I have enough starters at quarterback? I mean, trying to buy one after is probably going to be criminally over expensive. And do I just maybe see if I can get one next year? So it's interesting. The auction 3.0 we did, I like my team, but I know there's some work to do with it. The one I'm doing right now, and we're in the shit auction 4, right? I really like where I'm at with this. And I was thinking about how I wanted to do it. We've been doing this. I've been at a wedding and just, you know, been able to check in here and there, but what I've done is I have two of the rookies, Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young, and then I have young guys filled in around them, right? And at the receiver position, I have young ascending talents, I think. I have Kyle Pitts at tight end. So, like, this is a team that I don't think is going to win this year, but I've built it kind of around the best ball roster construction strategy, and I'm young at quarterback. They may not pop, but the thing I like is I can continue to build youth around this and probably pick up some injury risk guys that get hurt during the year, and probably in like year two, I think I could have a team that is formidable, really, really tough to go against.
I like your team, your strategy here in this last one that we did, right? I really do. You kind of sat back and let everybody else go crazy. This was much different than the first one we did because we could trade auction dollars, right? So there was picks flying around, yep. Money getting taken everywhere. So this is in the number 4 auction for our patrons, much different than the third one. On the third one, I thought it was very interesting. So I ended up with QB hoard. Imagine that. Me QB hoarding.
Shocker.
So I got my two guys, right? And I paid decent enough price for Watson and Tua, right? I thought they were values compared to some of the other quarterbacks, and I was happy with them. The thing is, after the studs went, right, there was a lot of other quarterbacks, the Mac Jones, the Kirk Cousins, right, these kind of guys where I'm going, I'm not letting y'all have them for cheap, right? You're not getting your discounts here. So I kind of filled out my wide receiver core, you know, I had Jefferson, Tyreek, Terry McLaurin, right? The pretty decent start. I paid up for Justin Jefferson, something I've never done in a startup or an auction. So might as well make it now. Right. $171 for Justin Jefferson. Oh, pricey, man. But I was for it. I wanted to try something different, but definitely pivoted mid auction. So we hadn't gotten to that part when we were talking on the last episode about strategy, and quarterback values were high, man. You went 366.
Yeah.
Is that right? Holy cow. 366 on Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
You know, you got like Dak Prescott, 220. Jalen Hurts was 335. Yep. Justin Fields was $300 even. Joe Burrow, $341. So well, that, the elite
that,
guys.
That was the reason cow. I went to – the reason I actually pushed Mahomes up and decided, said, you know what, I'll take him here is because – I think Mahomes does offer the clear tier one, but I think the problem when most people bid on Mahomes is the tier two and tier three guys. If you're paying 361, but the other ones are going for like $100 less, the advantage you're paying in money is not worth it. But when it's you know 2% different from Burrow to Mahomes, I'll take that. Like, you know what I mean? That's what, when I saw those things happening, I'm like, you know what? I'll take Mahomes at this crazy price because I'm actually getting a slight discount based on what the other tier two guys are going at.
Well, like, you know, Watson was 267 for me, Tua 191. Trey Lance, man, $186. $186. The only quarterbacks I can see on here.
That one's not looking good right now.
The only quarterback I see that's like an incredible value sticks out like a sore thumb, and I know he was horrible last year, and everybody hates him, and he's a meme at this point, right, Adam? But holy crap, Russell Wilson!
I saw that
$80.
Yeah, I don't know how. I think he went through early, right? Because that one is stupid, man.
Must have, you know what?
If you go back and if you take a look at our trade show from last week, you'll see that. Like, that's actually reflective, though, a little bit, Mike, of the market on him, right? We saw some deals go through that were way too light for Russell Wilson.
That is pretty crazy that he was that cheap. But anyways, like, we had these QB values, and most of them, as you can tell by some of the ones I listed off, right, they were really inflated. I mean, especially the elite guys, we were paying up. We got to the point where people who didn't participate in the QB market, right, we're probably licking their chops, right? I'm going to get Russ for $80. I'm going to get, you know, a Mac Jones. I'm going to get a Kenny Pickett. I'm going to get a, you know, Kirk Cousins. I'm going to get these middle of the road guys. And it is a best ball league. So I've been in that spot before in other auctions, Adam. And you've seen me do it where I'll walk away with four or five of these guys. And I've spent less than somebody spent on Patrick Mahomes. And I've got four quarterbacks in the top 20. I wasn't going to let people do it. I know I was hurting for budget because I paid up for two quarterbacks. I paid up for Justin Jefferson. I said, no, not today. You want these quarterbacks, you're going to have to pay the iron price. And I bid them up, and I ended up getting stuck with a couple of them. And I don't know whether or not you could stay stuck with them in a super flex league, especially a best ball. Having a lot of quarterbacks is never really a bad thing, man. The QB horde, as long as they're guys with jobs. And it's Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones for me. So I spent 106 on Mac, and I spent – or 106 on Kirk, and I spent 73 on Mac Jones. And then, you know, I just had to throw in a Malik Willis for $3 too, because
why not? For 0.3% of budget, you could do worse. Like, he could get spot starts, right? He could maybe, you know, start 5-6 games, and even if he isn't good at football, be okay at fantasy, make a lineup. Like, it's not – I actually thought that one was okay. I think what I like about that too, when as you're walking through the quarterbacks, you know, hypothetically or figuratively speaking, you know, you got stuck with. See, I think, though, the reason I think that, and you corrected that wording, see, I think what the difference was, and I think this is something you learned in the auction we did, the very first one we did on MFL for the Royal Rumble.
Right.
But there's a difference. Like, getting stuck with Mac Jones and Kirk Cousins is not getting stuck with Jacoby Brissett.
Right, or Marcus Mariota.
Correct. Like there's a big gap. There's a big distinction there. These are guys with jobs. Kirk Cousins actually scores fantasy points. Like, he's right. A good scorer in fantasy.
At a good clip, right? You're talking top 15.
Exactly. Mac Jones is a value trending down in the dynasty community, but he has first-round draft capital. He is unlikely to ever have a worse situation than last season as far as play caller – Matt Patricia and weapons. And at QB4, like we hit it on the series, Mike, you want to have three or four guys. So this is, I don't think you necessarily got stuck with them. The one thing, though, is for the room, you end up probably spending more than you wanted to.
Oh, for sure. Right.
I think that's the big point. Budget. Right. That's the big point. It's like these quarterbacks aren't ones that, oh, I got the problem is you misappropriated the funds once they all went through, right?
If I would have paid 73 for Mac Jones, it would have been probably right. You know what I mean? Like yeah, that would have yeah. been I rock three quarterbacks, Watson, Tua, Mac Jones. My budget's still intact. I got an extra $106 to spend on skill guys. You know, that's exactly. another 10 dudes that you get at $10. You know, that's just how you proportion it out. And in a best ball, 10 guys that you can get for $10 is actually pretty good. I mean, some of those guys are going to hit, make your lineup multiple times. So right. instead of being stuck with so many dollar players like I ended up being, and now I got to make trades. I still don't mind it, though. I still don't mind the team. I definitely will say I like the strategy. It's kind of weird, though, because I did the exact same thing in shit four. Shit auction four. I ended up trading away my first round for $125 auction dollars, Adam, which was a home run slam dunk, no question about it. It's a $1,000 budget, 35-man rosters. We'd already done one of these. You kind of knew where $125, like how long that'd last you, what kind of caliber player that'd get you. And for me, I just kind of blanket sent them out. I sent them to every person in the league, including you. I was like, I'll send my 24 first if you want to give me $125. Yep. Because, Adam, I really don't care what happens to that. I know what I can buy for $125 in an auction, and it's a really, really good player. And
Turns out it wasn't just a really good player. to give everyone – I'm gonna steal his thunder because he got – I had to watch this happen in the auction. Mike trades $125 for a 24 first. And when I saw the offer come through, I was going to hit accept because I'm thinking it's the other way around. And then I read it. You know, NFL Ooh, always gets me. It always gets right. me the way they have it, you know, from. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not That's doing this. Boy. I am not doing this. And it was interesting that I saw a deal go through. And then I'm like, oh, he sent these to a bunch of people, probably just everybody, blanket. And then the crazy part was – the manager who took it, B. Hall, like a bunch of other people saw it. This is a trade envy thing we talk about a lot.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, three other people are like, oh, I want to do that. So now B. Hall has, oh, I got five 24s. That's dope. But for 125, 115, basically, that was the going rate. When you can get Bijan Robinson for $115. See, these are generic 24 picks that have up and down value. But if you're telling me Bijan in a startup auction is going to be $115, you give that to Mike on top of his team plus 10, right? So he now has his full $1,000 and $10 additional budget, and he adds Bijan to that. Like, that's a pick that now is going to probably end up more in the back half. And guess what? you sent away the 101 for a lot of people, 102, 103 at minimum.
So. Just looking, I mean, we're pretty far along in this one now, but looking at it, $125, right? If you just kind of use that as generic, you're sending away a generic 24 first. And I know how much we've talked about, you want to keep your pick for the flexibility and, you know, we're all about the liquidity life and you don't know how your team's going to roll. But Adam, right now, I don't think there's anybody out there who's going to question it because these are the players who went for under $125. Like, you would send your first in a heartbeat in 24, random one. Where you don't even know where it is. Your team could be good. It could be bad. Doesn't matter. Mark Andrews in a 0.75 tight end premium league. Could I interest you in sending your first for Mark Andrews? I would assume yes. He went for $116.
Right.
Bijan, $115. Kyle Pitts, $111. CeeDee Lamb, $111. Amon-Ra, $110. JT, $107. And then this is also to the point about how bad like the quarterback landscape gets for some people. Jared Goff for 101. Now that one we could have a conversation about not sending a first four, but it took funny. Until then, man. Some of the other players on there, you're like, you're talking about like dynasty tight end one, dynasty tight end right. two, dynasty wide receiver three, dynasty running back one. Yeah, I'll send my 24 first for one of those dudes any day.
It's fun. It's interesting. So there's it's a good segue to what I was going to get to, Mike. And Dynasty Degenerates, I think this is what I've learned in these two auctions, and I maybe it's because there are a lot of patrons that we talk to, you know, and they think like us, but I actually think this is what makes the auction so fun. Is for me, I get to see really how people value things. Like, that's what actually happens. Take everything else out of there. You value things with every single dollar you spend. Both of these, here's the thing. If you get those 24 firsts, where they are valuable is if they become early and you can get a quarterback. That's where you win on the $125. That's where you absolutely win. Like, if you get in the Caleb Williams, Drake May range with that pick.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. The quarterbacks in both of these auctions are going Dak Prescott over 200, right? Like, the top ones are going $300. You win exponentially getting quarterbacks. Like, that's how B. Hall's edge is going to have to come. He makes his own pick 101, locks up Caleb Williams, right? And then one of these managers has to mismanage their team where you get it into quarterback two. That's the way he could win. And I think that's the big difference. Knowing all that, you really have to appropriate your funds correctly at the quarterback position, because it's going to be so hard in an auction to come away with them. Now, after the fact, you might be able to trade for some and figure that out. But in an auction, Bijan Robinson has been the fourth player in the 23 class, finance-wise, in both of these drafts. Because he's a skill player. He's not a quarterback. Like, it's crazy. That is so real to me. Like, that is so real. That just think about that, for example. Like, all these managers, different managers in each one. Some of these came from Twitter. They weren't even our followers, Mike.
Right. I just threw it out there to anybody who wanted to join, right? It wasn't just our patrons.
Right.
We had some spots to fill and wanted to get going on the auction. Because I love doing auctions, but you're 1,000% correct, man. If anything has been readily apparent, you know, we can talk about it, you know, how scarce the quarterback position is and how, man, we're in scary times now. We are desperately hoping that this 23 class provides us the next group of quarterbacks to give us more depth, to give us more options at the quarterback, because right now it's bad. It's really bad. And you hit on it, man. Both of these. And it's not something – I've been on the other side of the fence. Like, I'm writing articles in the newsletter. Go check that out. Make sure you're subbed. Find it down in the description. But I'm writing articles in the newsletter like, don't reach for a quarterback at one in your super flex leagues. I know it's tempting. Just take Bijan. That's the guy. That's the guy. That's the guy. This is what I'm telling people, Adam, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's the fourth guy as far as rookie value goes in both drafts. And it's not because of our doing. I mean, you've been on some of these rookie quarterbacks, but I was out of the rookie quarterback running in the last one. Like, I didn't even bid on Stroud or Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson or my guy Will Levis.
No.
Because I'm getting the vets. Like, I want the vets. I don't want to rely on a rookie. And I'm sitting here watching, like, are you kidding me? These quarterbacks are going so much higher than Bijan freaking Robinson? Holy hell.
And you'll
never understand how much people value quarterbacks or what the scarcity is and how much people are shitting their pants on a daily basis about their QB room until you get in one of these startup auctions.
Exactly. And so then that brings the point, okay, how does this then become Mike's guaranteed win? So the difference is you're stacking the deck ahead of time. Now you are one of four people that has 1125. So you can not only get the discount players for first, but you can still have enough ammo to go get the quarterbacks. That's where this is huge for the trade timing for you, because the skill players do go reasonably in an auction because people do throw so much at the quarterback position.
Well, that was part of the strategy, right? So I'd bid up on some quarterback. I think at the time I'd maybe was bidding up like Justin Herbert. I think that's who I ended up with in this one, number four. Mm-hmm. That was like kind of my target. I was kind of running up some prices on some other guys, but after Bijan came off the board at $115, and I knew, you know, I had that extra $125 to play with. I'm like, my auction's basically back at $1,000, like just like everybody else. Plus I got an extra $10. I go, I can really get pretty bully with how I want to approach this quarterback position. Like, I can really just go get some guys. So I ended up getting Justin Herbert. And then I think the next one off the board was Russ at 137. So $57 difference between the two auctions, right? 80 and one, he slips through the cracks. This one, he goes for 57 more, and I'm the dope who paid it. But I don't mind Russ as QB2. Justin Herbert was going to be my QB1. And then I'm really thinking, man, like, let me keep the foot on the gas with this quarterback thing. The values were a little bit depressed from the previous one. We were definitely down across the board. And it didn't really seem like people wanted to participate. So I said, hell, let me go get two more guys, right? I already got a one top eight option. Adam, I got the funds. I got the wherewithal. Let me go push the button and bid up a couple other guys, and ended up getting Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields. Lamar for 274 and Fields for 252. So I'm rocking three top eight quarterbacks. I don't think there's another team in the league that can say that.
Yep.
And yep. Bijan Robinson. But I'm not going to lie to you. That's pretty much it. That's the entire team right there. That's pretty much it. And Russ. Russ is the outsider.
I like it, though. I think, you know, going through two of them, and this is not going to be the only two we do. I think we're going to, now that we have our format figured out and how we want to really make it most fun and most easily done for everyone, and we're seeing it work well, like, this is going to be something we do probably more often than we do the snake drafts at this point.
And I'll probably throw in like one or two snake drafts here and there to get like the old school feel.
You still want to keep yourself, like, you want to keep your mind sharp in that market. You don't want to only do auctions so that you're not keeping it actionable with talking through the snakes sometimes.
One of the underrated things, Adam, is like, you do a snake draft. We all do slow snake drafts, right? Maybe it's a 4-hour timer. Maybe it's an 8-hour timer, whatever it may be. We can't really get anybody together and do a fast draft anymore. It's just the logistics don't work out with schedules and everything. But one of the other things is, man, you know how frustrating it is when you're sitting in a snake draft and like Joe Blow over there is milking the clock because he wants people to trade with him. And you're like, I see your green light. I see that you're in the draft room. I see that your pick has been on the block for the last 3 hours. Can you just make the damn pick already? Please, let's keep this moving. The auction moves at its own pace, man. There's a 12-hour countdown. That's what we have ours set to. There's a 12-hour countdown. It doesn't matter. If nobody bids or the high bidder doesn't change in 12 hours, it's coming off the board, man. Ain't no waiting for nobody. Don't wait for nobody.
Let me give you an actionable, like, what just happened. Dynasty Degenerates. Let me explain to you that so we're recording this on Sunday, March 19th. So all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, this draft was in key points. I was drinking and meeting up with a lot of guys I was in a wedding. I was able to still participate because I'll get to my phone in the bathroom or, you know, in a spot where I have 10 minutes and still have every chance to look through the things I need to and make the bids I want to because it's 12-hour slow clock, right? Perfect.
Right.
Like,
you set your proxy too. Like, if it's
correct.
You're not just enforcing prices or testing the markets or trying to run somebody up. If it's a dude that you want, you're like, man, I really want Kyle Pitts on this team. I'm going to set it at $120. If it goes above it, oh, well, somebody enjoy Kyle Pitts. But if it stays below it, I'll take him for whatever I can get below 120.
And you know what? I think this is a good segue too for understanding auctions, and because I was not okay, if I wasn't doing those things, I would probably be checking this a lot more often, right? And I think because I didn't check it as often, I was able to kind of see what was happening more as opposed to I see everything right now. I see it in, okay, like, if you watch highlights of a game, for example, right? You're not going to see the whole game. You're just going to see certain things, but you're going to see the score at the end. I'm seeing, and one of the reasons I kept holding money, and I think this is a good way to talk about this. So one of the problems and one of the things I think that's hardest to put like a quantitative figure or actually explain is when to hold your money for having the hammer versus when to just say these are great values and push them in early, right? That's something that's so hard to say, here's what works for that, right? The one thing I have figured out by doing it this way, and I saw, is, let me give you this point. The big way to understand that, and when you need to say, I've held it too far, and or I've actually I have the hammer that matters, and I have the hammer and it doesn't. You need to constantly be looking at the players that are not being bid. How big is that? How big is that pool? And how many players are being rostered by these teams that you have more money than? Because here's the big thing: if you have a hammer, let's say you have 30%, most people have 100 or less, but there's still you can say there's 40 people that I would really like in best ball. You want the hammer, right? But when you have, if that's the same figure, and there's like 10 or less, no, you don't want. It doesn't matter. You'll get six of those guys, but you will have a team that's too short in actual depth, right? That's the big thing.
We had a guy in the first one, number three there, that we did that held the hammer, and I thought he held it for far too long. Like, he held the hammer until after the quarterbacks were all gone, like, pretty much. So he's walking away with Will Levis, Matt Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers as his quarterbacks. Like, is it okay? Yeah, I mean, he definitely has the most depth. I mean, you go down to roster spot like 25, and it's still a good guy that's probably going to make his lineup. It's nice, Adam, but he just doesn't have the hoss as a quarterback. Could the team win a championship if Stafford and Rodgers are healthy this year and Will Levis does something? 100%, I think it could. But there's also a scenario where this team is not a true contender. Like, it has the depth, but the quarterbacks are so god-awful. Like, Stafford's bad again. Aaron Rodgers is father time, catches up with him, or the situation at the Jets, if that's where he ends up going, is not that great. And Will Levis doesn't play right away. There's a situation where his team's stuck in that gross middle, right, where he has enough depth on a weekly basis to kind of be middle of the road and fight for a playoff spot, but he doesn't have the quarterback, sort of the studs at the positions to really win a championship. So how are you going to get a quarterback? Because your pick's not going to be good enough next year to get Caleb Williams or Drake May or Quinn Ewers or whoever the hell it may be. That's the one where I think, like, you want to hold the hammer, but you also want to strategically push yourself in at the right time. And I think with the quarterback position, that's where it starts. Like, you don't have to be the guy bidding up the Patrick Mahomes and, you know, the Deshaun Watsons. You can stay out of the top 12 if you want, but I would imagine you're going to want to get in around quarterback 15-ish. You're going to want to get 3-4 of these guys. We talked about it with the roster construction series with Scott for best ball, where it really depends on the level of talent I have. But I'm okay having 4 quarterbacks as long as they're dudes, you know, 15 to 24. I don't want 4 quarterbacks where 2 of them are, you know, QB 32, 31, and may not have jobs. What we were talking about last year in the Royal Rumble, where it's right. Yeah,
next QB year, hoarded. This time, what is this guy's dynasty value?
Right. A QB hoarded, but it's guys nobody wants. Nobody wants a Jacoby Brissett. Nobody wants a Marcus Mariota. Nobody really wanted a Jared Goff at the time, right? Nobody likes these guys. So it's not as efficient. So I think what you did, at least, I don't know what we'll call it, the strategy. Right? Well, so you held the hammer.
Let me walk you through why I did this, because – it starts with what Mike did and then what followed. So when I see, right, and I talked about this before we did the best ball construction series, maybe the best way to go is just say, I'm going to sink in and get Caleb Williams and not pay anything for that. Just make my pick 101. But here's the problem. That was off the table too, because just by number of funds that B-Hall is going to put to his team, right, you can't beat him to 101, right? You can't. So I'm like, damn, okay. But then also, I don't have the extra 125 that everyone else did to actually lean into the upper tier quarterbacks. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? Chess, not checkers, right? All right, let me go ahead and get the 2 top quarterbacks in my mind today. Make sure I don't have a fall off at quarterback where I'm out of the top 15. I got 2 guys in the top 15. I still plan to productive struggle. Maybe I can still get a Drake May. Maybe I can still get a quarterback that's in the 24 class to make this team better, but then I youth build it around that, right? So it's basically like I had to lean into an auction productive struggle, if you will. Like, I'm not gonna go spend my money on the rookie guys that are getting, or the second year or third year guys that are getting way overspended on, but I'm trying to find the values of guys that have dynasty value built in Like, they're not going to lose a lot of value. They're almost liquid in a sense and possibly projecting up. Like, nobody that I bid on or was actually wanting to get stuck with was going to be someone like, oh, man, if you had this guy, you have to trade him out or value could be cliffing with an injury or someone getting hurt or him just not playing well.
All right, man. The first one you did, let's talk about this a little bit because it also fits with last week's episode where we wrapped up best ball tight ends. Yeah. It's a two tight end, start two tight end league, right? Correct.
Yeah, that was what made that one so different is like the edge and two tight end.
You out here with the tight end horde. Pitts, yep. Kelsey, David Njoku, and then nothing. I mean, you took some rookies. I see there's a Jock Peterson. I thought he was a baseball player. Oh, no, that's Josh Peterson. I didn't even know who the hell that was. You took a Josh Peterson for a dollar.
Yep.
I didn't know who that was. But, yeah, you went with the tight end horde in the two tight end league. So you paid up heavy. You got the Kelsey Mahomes stack, which is deadly as all hell. But Kyle Pitts, David Njoku, talk to the people about kind of in a two tight end league, 0.75 premium, if I remember right as well. Why you went with the tight end horde?
So the reason I did this, I think this is a big difference in one tight end and two tight end and understanding the teams. So, for example, if you tight end hoard in a 12-team Superflex league, one tight end, they better be the top three and four people. Like, otherwise, there's no edge there because they don't have the trade market and they don't really give you realistic edges in scoring. There's only one spot to be filled outside of flexes. That's the big difference in two tight end, right? These three guys, like, I can keep them, and it's optimal for my roster to have those three tight ends in a two tight end league. Because if they all pop off, they make my flex too, right? The difference is somebody else is paying. They're paying in the tight end spot because of that, right? That causes an issue for someone else in this draft. There may be multiple people are going to have to fill two tight end spots, and you're looking at, I'm looking at one right here, Noah Fant, their tight end one.
Right.
You know, that is a big difference. Like that team will have to fill two spots at the tight end position where you could be looking at tight end 29 and tight end 50. That kills you.
I appreciate you glossing over my stud tight end room of CJ Uzama and Josiah DeGuara.
You know, you got lucky that I was just scrolled down enough to see my team, and so the one next to me was J-Cap instead of Mike. So it could have been Mike's team too. But the point is, though, this gives me leverage in trading, and also I don't have to trade out of them. You know, like I can keep these three guys, and it's actually good for my roster. So the other thing too, because I'm filling two tight end spots, possibly with two elite tight ends, that's not quite the super flex, but it's close as far as you can actually have a big roster advantage in warp versus, you know, some of the other positions. So that's kind of why I did it, was the two tight end thing. And then, Mike, to tell you the truth, Patrick Mahomes being, like I talked about earlier, 366 versus 341 for Burrow. That extra 2% or whatever for Mahomes is worth it to me. But then if you tell me, okay, at that point, I also was leaning into stacking and paying the extra premium to guarantee the Kelsey Mahomes stack.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Underdog. That's right. Destination Devi is now partnered with Underdog. It's an incredible opportunity, and you know my affinity for best ball. How about getting in those contests and taking down some of these big tournaments, getting that best ball money? And right now, if you sign up with promo code 4DCHESS, you'll get 100% deposit match up to the first $100. And the best part is Destination Debbie Discord will be free to you for a year. You will get access to all the strategy that we will be talking about as far as taking down some of these tournaments and the best ball tools that will come with it. What a perfect marriage. Destination Debbie, 4D Chess, Underdog, Best Ball. Say less and sign me up. Now back to the show. Another thing that stood out to me, I mean, we kind of get off the quarterbacks. We talked about the tight ends, the running backs, both drafts, Adam. Running back is officially dead. Nobody wants him. Wide receivers are going for crazy amounts. And, man, if you go back in time to like 2 years ago or last year where Adam and I are touting running backs, you'll be in heaven if you still love running backs and you think everybody's crazy. Because, I mean, you're only talking about maybe one guy in both drafts. I didn't look at the other one. But Bijan Robinson is about the only one that's going to go for more than $100. It's going to hit triple digits. And everybody else, I mean, Saquon's in the 60s. Kenneth Walker, maybe, if that's your flavors, in the 80s. But even good running backs like the Chubbs, those kind of guys are going to go for 40, 50 bucks everywhere. You're going to have receivers, right, like the Michael Pittmans and the Jerry Judys and the Brandon Ayuks that are going to approach what – your top-tier running backs are going for in these auctions. So, I mean, some of these guys are patrons. Like, they've listened to us. We still have an affinity for running backs, but nobody wants to pay for them, man. And these auctions have told me that both of them, running backs, dead.
You know what's interesting, Mike, is, see, I think, I don't know if this is, at least the way I'm looking at it, let me say that. I don't know how everyone else is valuing things and thinking about it. But I think here's the reality in auction drafts, and this is about the whole skill players, like remove quarterback, right? Because we already talked about that for quite a bit. But the reality is you have to spend so much on those, and everybody knows they don't want to end up short at that position. So it forces you to spend insane amounts of money there. So now it's like, you know, how are you going to ball on a budget, right? Like, how are you going to ball on a budget? Because everything else has to take the leftovers. And I think the problem is if you get, let's say, four or five of the really good running backs, like people don't feel good enough about having the wide receiver room shallow. Or in this league, for example, two tight end, they don't want to go so negative there, right? So what are you going to leave short? It has to be running back. And see, I think what's interesting is because of the way it's formatted, it's a percentage game. And right now we do this in March. So, like, okay, if I'm going to leave one short, it's going to be running back. And that's what I did. I was like, all right, the way I'm appropriating funds, like, I'm basically going to have a complete zero RB. Like, all these guys on my team may not even actually score any points this year. But the thing is, I think if you build everything else right, you can make trades for running backs, you know? That's the thing that I feel more comfortable filling in the gaps later. Because we did talk about in the best ball construction series, though, Mike, it is still very important to winning. But the difference is I don't want to pay 30% of my roster budget in the auction where there's values to be had. I'd rather try to do it later. And also I don't have the risk of Cam Akers snaps his Achilles, right, in the summer. Like, you're dead $100 now, right? Like, that is something you don't want to have to deal with too.
I think for me, the biggest one, my takeaways from there is that I'm probably going to be more open to getting some of these running backs because they're just such damn values. Like, I will take them.
Yes, yes.
I think it's going to lean me even more into wide receiver kind of being the one that I devalue, where I'm not going to chase those top 12 guys. Like, I'm kind of just going to write a cutoff. And I'm probably not even going to chase really wide receiver twos. I'm just going to chase a metric ton of wide receiver three types, because those guys are going to go for 20 to 30 bucks tops. The wide receiver two guys, I mean, they're going for 50. The wide receiver ones are hundreds. The elite wide receiver ones, the top five guys, are going 120, 130, you know, and then Jefferson and Chase. I mean, you can see those guys pushing 180, 190 in a $1,000 budget with 35 man rosters. So I think for me, I'm going to be more open to just taking the values at running backs.
Yeah.
I also do like both of these. Like, I have been the QB horde, but I have been envious of the guys who've been able to pass on QB. It kind of is going to depend on your league, though. It's going to depend on the guys around you. That's kind of why you say every auction is different. And auction strategy is kind of hard to talk about because you can't just give you a, you know, do this, do this, do this, right? You can't give you a three-step process. But these, both of these, man, there have been people who have waited on quarterback who haven't really gotten involved. And I'm envious of some of the values that they're getting, right? Some of the mid-tier guys that you can build your team around. So, Adam, in reality, I mean, you could honestly go with a strategy where you load up on running backs, and it does, I mean, you could just pick your guys. Like, pass on Bijan, but go get JT, go get Barkley, go get McCaffrey, get a bunch of wide receiver threes, get you an elite tight end or two, and then just play yourself with these mid-tier quarterbacks, three or four of them.
Yeah,
and
you could start it. You could start at the golf range, right, and go lower even. Like the guys that are kind of a little grosser. Imagine you got Russell Wilson at $80, like we just talked about on that one, right?
You get Russ at $80, and you get Goff at 100. Or,
oh my, you know, goodness! 70,
right?
Did you imagine?
You spend 180 on two quarterbacks, or you get a Danny Dimes. Like I think of one of those. He went somewhere around like $70, maybe.
And see that
should have gone higher.
I think there's a good talking point too. Then, like, if you're going to do that, which you can do, and I've thought about this too, like, go ahead and spend 30. What Jordan Love go for in the first one? Like, Shoot your shot on these guys you don't even really like. Like, it's against our process and what we think of Jordan Love, but just value-wise, it's like, okay, I got to start finding these type of players to just shoot my shots on at quarterback 3-4.
Like, just go out and get your dude. Just go, like, I might as well. Screw it. I'll be a Jordan Love guy. He went for $47.
There you go. That's a perfect target of like, okay, I'm spending lighter on the quarterback room. Give me a range of a reasonable dart to be my quarterback 4, quarterback 3.
Adam, think about this, though. This is another thing about the quarterbacks that you talk about. You got Baker Mayfield for $5.
Right.
In the first.
That's what I was doing. I literally spent, you know, $5, $6, $8 on – 7 guys. Now, unfortunately, I'm watching each one of them, the domino fall, and he's like Sam Darnold, right? Now, who knows what's going to – he goes to Frisco because Carolina trades up to pick 1. And then
the
Jameis has
– on Jameis.
Jameis has, you know, oh, Derek Carr is there. He's staying in New Orleans. Okay, well, at least Baker's going. Maybe he could – he looks like he could be the starter in Tampa next year. So that was a good $6 spent.
I'd like it. I like the strategy of it. I mean, there's going to be somebody who, like Davis Mills would be a good one. Somebody who spent under $5 on Davis Mills.
Yep.
We could get to draft night and the Texans don't take a quarterback. And they're like, we're trotting Davis Mills out for one more year. And we're tanking for Caleb. We're tanking for Drake May. We're going to take the best defensive players. And we gave our coach a long contract. Like, that's something the Texans could do. And all of a sudden, the person who got Davis Mills for under $5 just walked themselves into a starting quarterback and didn't have to do anything to get it.
So and I want to talk it's interesting. The more we're talking about this, the more things are just flowing in my mind, and I want to make sure I get some of it out. The running back position especially, right? Because of the fact that it's so devalued and then auction forces it to be even more devalued, Mike brings up a good point, and that is how you want to approach it. Because the reality is, we've done two of these, and I don't think it's going to be this one-off. Like, both of these leagues are not going to be on the total bottom end of the spectrum. They're not going to be far away from what reality is for every one of their leagues, right? Most people are going to be not spending a lot of money at their running back position in most of your auctions you do this offseason. It's just the truth. Here's the thing. What's crazy is, like, I think it probably depends on how you want to build your team, and if you end up bidding up Mahomes and you get him, like that, this becomes, you can't do it anymore, right? If you spend 30-something% on Mahomes, you can't do it. But if you're doing what Mike talks about and you go, let's say 30% of budget on the grosser quarterbacks that could still score points, you know, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, now you have a lot of funds you could appropriate to running back, and that's what's interesting because, so I'm in this one we're doing shit auction for, and I have the hammer, but I've been really closely tabbing the running backs in the available pool that are being bidded currently and ones that haven't been bid up. And it's deep enough still to where I'm like, okay, I can just make sure I get these guys. Like, I have the funds to make sure I land 8 of them. And then I'm like, okay, I don't have to have Saquon. I don't have to have them. I'll have, you know, Cam Akers, Javonte Williams. I'll get a bunch of the running backs in this class. I'll get an A.J. Dillon type. I'll get these type of running backs, you know, and I'll just get 8 of them. But you could also say, like, I think Mike brings up a really good point. You could spend probably 20-something percent of your budget and end up with, like, 4 of the top-scoring running backs. Now, the problem in the – it's a double-edged sword. There's a problem, and there's a great edge to be had here. The problem is if there's injuries, like, you're kind of built with an edge on that position, and if there's injuries there, you lost all that edge. But if you end up with 4 of the top 10 running backs in warp, like, and you craftily build the rest of your team around that, you're going to be an animal. Like, we have talked about how the top running backs in a lot of these leagues warp wise, if you've built the way we talk about with depth at the wide receiver position, and you have the good tight ends that have warp, and you have quarterbacks that aren't losing you point, like they're not warp monsters, but they're hanging around, they're replacement level or higher. That is where you could win with the running back position still, even when it's dead today in an auction in March, if you do that type of a build.
The crazy thing too is, I mean, these are both point per carry leagues, right? I mean, you're not getting a full point, but when we say point per carry, for those of you who haven't played in it, generally it's 0.2 or 0.25 points every carry that a running back gets. Or, you know, in the case of some of the wide receivers on reverse and stuff, or quarterbacks, they also get points per the carry. But generally in points per carry, the running back scores more than most of the wide receivers, right? Yep. And those are the kind of the guys that you'll end up seeing in a lot of flexes in best ball is running backs, because it's pretty easy to get 10, 15 carries, right? And get you 50 yards and maybe a touchdown, and all of a sudden you're looking at a guy who's approaching 20 points, which is wild. So running backs still score really well in point per carry leagues. It's insane to think, though, like, I mean, even the running backs who are getting a lot of carries, like the Derrick Henrys, he's definitely dead, man, because he's going for $40. The Nick Chubb, it's over for him. He's in the tank. I mean, he's going for $40. No one cares about him. Saquon, it's done. It's over for Saquon. He's $60. I mean, we got like wide receiver 26, wide receiver 28 going for the same prices as some of these stud running backs in point per carry, which is crazy to me. I know you run the risk of them getting hurt, and, you know, I'm definitely switched over to team wide receivers for the long term. But, Adam, if you're just going to let me have them for reasonable prices, I like it. I do really enjoy what you're talking about, too, the whole strategy behind looking at positions and what has yet to been nominated. Like, find yourself a pool and be like, okay, this isn't on the board yet, this isn't in play. I know I need this. I know I need to match up my roster construction, or I want to get my 8 running backs. And these are this is the range, like down to this dude, player X. This is as low as I want to go on my running backs. Like, if I got to go outside of this guy, I don't feel good. I don't feel like I got 8, right? I need 8 guys this range or above. Who's there? Start counting them up. And as long as there's 8 dudes left and you're the one holding the hammer, you're like, I'm pretty much guaranteed. Like, this guy will go for $10. This guy will go for $15. This guy will go for, you know, maybe $17, $18. And you count it up and do the math in your head, and you can still hit that roster construction with your 8 guys that you want above that range. I really like that strategy. That's something I do too, where I'm kind of just seeing what's been left to nominate and before it gets to really scary hours. Usually it's at the quarterback position if I'm the guy waiting.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Let me give you just an example in this one. I pulled it up just so that I could talk through this, right? So let's say, and this is one of those things I think people actually want to have more content on, but it's hard to contextualize because it's so free-flowing, you know? But the reason I want to talk about it is this. All right, so DJ Moore, right? And T. Higgins. These are, DJ Moore has this, the fact that it's a new trade and people have this DJ Moore love that they feel like can happen now, he is a guy that has just everybody wants to get their paws on DJ Moore right now. You know, everybody, it's a hot button guy. So he goes off the board at $69, and I'm like, it seems a little high, but it might not be. T. Higgins ends up going at $69. Now, here's the thing. So if you bid on DJ Moore and T. Higgins, right, earlier, though, this is the big thing. Those guys went off the board early in the auction. Maybe you'll find out later that you have a value there. Okay? Here's the difference, though. If you have the hammer, right, and you know that the pool still exists with full guys, you're $5. Like, I spent $4 more to get Garrett Wilson. And now you could say it's better. I'd rather spend the $69 on T. Higgins. And I'm not going to fight you. That's fine. But the difference is, like, remove the names. Let's just say they're similar guys. Let's just say they're similar tiers for auction strategy purposes. Okay, you spend a little of that $5 edge you have, but you still have the edge, right? Like, that's the big difference. Remove the names. If you spend the $69 and you do all that up front, you don't have the edge. You better have already won early because you don't have an edge later. You can't control what happens. If you do track the player pools and you say, there's 15 guys I still feel very comfortable at the receiver position, you can keep that hammer and make it worth it. Even if you spend an extra $5 on a player in the same tier, you have the hammer to control getting enough players versus everyone else who doesn't have the money.
I think one of my biggest takeaways, the only thing that I have, Adam, like, we've talked a lot of good strategy. My biggest takeaway that I have is a random first on a $1,000 budget with 35 man rosters. Ain't no way in hell it's worth $125. I think it should be more like 50, maybe 75 on the top end.
75 maybe. Cause
right.
I would, you know what? Good point. And you know what? Had I not been so busy when I saw yours go through, I would have been like,
right on it.
125. I'd have sent him just to make sure he clicks the button. 120.
Listen, man, I learned that from the Royal Rumble. We probably talked about it with Ray.
That's what they went for there. I knew exactly what you were doing. 125, what they went for.
I knew it was horrible. You know, when it first went through, we didn't really have an idea of how it was going to go with the auction, right? But then we see some players come off the board. And even worse, man, it was a 14-team auction. So there's more money at play. Like, you think some bids should actually be higher. It wasn't the case, man. There was dudes going for under 125. We were going like, yeah, I'd send you like two firsts for that guy. I'd definitely take the cash over the pick. I don't want the pick at all.
Let me give you one point in the best ball market that makes it so worth it. Now, we talked about Bijan at 115, which is like, if that doesn't hammer the point home, I don't really know what you need. But let me give you one more, okay? The reason I say this, now, what do we know in best ball? As long as the package is real dynasty value, we're going to probably lean the package, right? Like, it's just the way it works in best ball. You want more shots at the dartboard. Now, think about it this way. Your 125 that you get to spend, you can appropriate however you want, right? Like, this is one pick. Now, like we said, where that wins, and that's very, I want to make sure that is highlighted multiple times, because where, if those 24 picks, any one of them, including his own that he already had, becomes 101, 102, that's where the dollar amount he loses can win, right? That's where you win. It's got to be the quarterback's elite ones or valued ones. But here's the difference. Like, just think for a second. If you could send your 24 first, let's remove the 125 for a second. I'm going to give you four players. Like, you think about a 4-for-1. It's a pick. I'm already thinking four, right? These four players: Terry McLaurin, George Pickens, Brandon Ayuk, Aaron Jones. For a single 24 first. And you can still have it be a late one.
You could take your liquidity. You could take the flexibility. Everything that we talk about, you know, like the good dynasty practices.
And just throw it in the trash right here.
Throw it out the window in a best ball league, man. I do that every day of the week. I don't even
think
care
about
my team.
Think about those four players.
Just give me the four guys. I'll figure it out.
Right. Like, Aaron Jones, George Pickens, Brandon Ayuk. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
You're talking about guys where you have conversations on the trade show about, like, would you trade a late first for this guy? Like, who wins on this one? Not just one, not two, not three, four. Four, Adam. We're LeBron James in it out here.
Also, you know what you can do here? Oh, man, good point to wrap up. Let's go running back room for a second, right? You don't – part of the reason I think the running backs get so devalued, I said earlier, is you don't have enough funds to really appropriate to the position. But imagine you said, you know what I'm going to do is just build my team, but have an extra 125 to throw at the running back position. You did that with Bijan, essentially. But let's say you played the value market. For $125, you can walk away with, and this one we're doing right now, I'll get gross, so it's going to be a lot of people coming your way. Just how many? Imagine how many darts you can get. Rashad Penny, Cam Akers, Joe Mixon, Dameon Pierce, Tank Bigsby, Brian Robinson. We still got money. Rashad White. Like, you get six real running back darts, man. And you still have money over.
This is like dollar menu McDonald's there on a Friday night while you're in college. Like, we still got money, man.
And you know what?
Give me two more McChickens.
You've already, it's like you have extra money at the end and no one else does. But you know what? And let me go ahead and throw 16 at Cortland Sutton because I have it. There you go. 7-for-1. Holy shit, man. Or how about, speaking of the trade that just went down, how about 17 on Brandon Cooks instead?
Right. There it is.
God, that's a great point, man. Like, don't, all right. I guess all the stuff we talked about, just don't be the guy that takes that.
Don't be the guy taking the first.
And don't do it, man. Don't do it. Oh, no, man.
Make sure it's. I'm not against it, man. Adam, if it was like $75 or, you know, I honestly think it should be more like 50, 50, 60.
I was going to counter 75, and I knew, like, you wouldn't do that. And then the trade already went through. And now the bar's already been set, so right. I'm not gonna get the pick away. You know,
it's like Reese Bobby says, man. If you ain't first, you're last. That's the way it is.
So you don't want to get stuck in the middle, you know.
No, I like it.
It's like when. How about you let me win this time? But then how do I win?
Oh man, that's so true. I really enjoy these auctions. Some of the reasons that you pointed out, it's almost more relaxing than doing a startup. I don't have to check my phone as much. I don't have to pay as much attention. There definitely are times though where I'm trying to be the enforcer and bidding up guys, and I end up getting stuck with some of them. But as long as you're getting stuck in the good spots, I think that's a good takeaway for me. I'm okay getting stuck with quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, not crappy ones. And there's a ton of different strategy. This won't be the last episode we ever do on auction, but we did have to do a follow-up because we spent so much time talking about quarterbacks. We had to dive into some other stuff. But Adam, I'm looking forward to it when this episode drops. I will put the draft board in the link just like I did for the last one so you can see the final result. It should be final about Friday when this comes out. So it's incredible, man. Best ball, auction startup, slow, proxy. I'm having a blast, especially when I figured out that I can import them as they go, as they come off the board into Sleeper, because it looks so much better than the way MFL lays it out for you. You really get to see everybody's positions and how much they paid, and it'll be with the Sleeper League for as long as that league's around, right? You can go back and see how much they paid in the startup auction for each individual player. We can laugh about values or cry about overpays or go like, man, how did you get Patrick Mahomes for only this? Look what he did for you. So,
yeah,
pretty incredible. What are your last takeaways? And then we'll bounce out of here, buddy.
Yeah, I think we did some discussing an auction. I think I still want to have some future episodes where we dive into, like, I actually think maybe an episode where we dive specifically into each market and why we appropriate funds for each one of the running back, wide receiver, and tight end, and then understanding the different tight end premiums and obviously scarcity, one or two tight end league.
This sounds like a second crossover series.
That's what I'm getting there. You know, I'm throwing the lob up. It's going to be really high, so we can make sure one of us jumps up and gets it. But the other thing too, and it's interesting because I didn't even know been pretty busy the last few days, as you heard. I didn't even realize I was on the clock with one of my 101s. And Mike's like, hey, man, before we record, like, you're on the clock for 101, right? Like, you popped your head in there. I don't know why. I just put the, glasses and gif in. So I have to think about it again. And both auctions, I think of a little preview of what we're going to do next week. is really talk about the rookie class and this landscape that auction kind of forces you to see what monetarily people value things at. I take it one, like at 101, I hadn't thought about it. I didn't know. Mike's like, you're on the clock, 101. Okay, let me look at my team. Let me think about it. And my team's not ready to go. And this is something Scott's talked about ad nauseum already too. If you're taking Bijan at 101, you better have a team that can support Bijan actually being a warp difference maker. And I look, my team's not that. I've been on the clock unknowingly, and I don't have a single offer for the pick yet. I'm not taking Bijan Robinson. And the reason I didn't on this build, I'm not saying you can't ever do it, but I think I take Anthony Richardson with this build at the 101, right? I think this topic is a polarizing one. I think people are pretty torn on it, and they want to know why. And I think next week, Dynasty Degenerates, we'll dive into all the different dynamics and, you know, if you have the 101, what are we doing? Who should you press the button on? What you should be trading out for if you can trade out? Like, I think that deserves, because rookie drafts are going to be coming up. Mike and I, we're in these degenerate leagues. We're already doing them right now. But they're coming up. It's around the corner. And I think talking about the 101 as a whole 4D chess show is something we really need to give the people, man.
Definitely. We need to dive into the rookie class because it's coming up. It's coming up. You and I, it kind of worked out bad because I'm on vacation when I normally want to do all these pre-NFL rookie drafts, right? 1st of April, April Fool's Day. Let's start them all up. Let's go. So we did one starting this week. We're going to do a couple more next week, and then the rest will wait until I get back from my Dolphins fan cruise with my old man down in the Caribbean. Hopefully I'll get a nice interview with Dan Marino. But I'll settle for Mark Duper or OJ McDuffie. Either way, I'll take either one of them. Take whatever I can get, but we'll do some drafts after there. But we definitely need to start getting into the rookies because it's coming up, man, especially for us with pre-NFL drafts.
Yeah,
we got more and more leagues doing them. I think we might be up to 15, 16 at this point, our pre-NFL drafts. So we have to take a deep dive into this class and make sure that we're not making some of the same mistakes that we made last year. So it'll be good. 100%. Next episode, let's lock it in, man. Rookies. So pay attention. Rookies.
Yep.
And not just rookies individually talking about the players. You want prospect analysis. You're in the right place for Destination Devy, especially with our guy Ray G and Jay Rich handling that all the time. That's where I get my stuff from. But strategy, market, that's what we're going to cover. So, Adam, take us out of here, buddy.
That's it, man. So, yeah, think about the I hope this was really valuable. It was fun for me to talk about. The auctions are really kicking us into gear. So just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 4D chess.
That's going to do it. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week. Peace.
Peace.